basically what's been happening is that we've been looking at pictures of God's people, if you like. There have been metaphors used of God's people in the New Testament, and we've been looking at some of them. The body, the bride, the family, and that we're talking about the family next week. The temple, I don't think we've touched on that one, but God willing, one of those days, you will go through the temple. And today we come to the flock of God. So, right. So the flock of God, and I did say once, I think I said it last week again, that I don't know what you think of when you think of the flock, the word, the flock of God, but it's not birds, all right? It is not birds. It is about, what animal are we talking about when we talk about the flock? Thank you. We are talking of sheep, right? The scriptures are there, and we won't go through all those things, all right? So don't worry. We'll be looking at John 10 primarily. What do you think of when you look at sheep? Don't say bear again. What do you think of when you look at sheep? I actually had a slide about that one of a shepherd looking at a sheep, licking his lips, and he's hoping a book could say how to cook lamb. Now, that is not what, well, it is one way of looking at sheep, all right? But Jesus looked at sheep, and the interesting thing is, he refers to us a lot in scripture as sheep. When he looked out at us, he told us, you know, he considered us, all we like sheep have gone astray. They're kind of cute in certain ways. Anybody agree with that one? No? Nobody's agreeing with the cute sheep. No, fine. Anybody looks at sheep and thinks of merino wool? Nobody. No? I must be weird because I look at sheep and I think of merino wool. Nice wool. But sheep are interesting animals when you think about it. Because these are some characteristics of sheep. And if you talk to a farmer, this is what they'll say. Sheep are not very intelligent to start with. They have no sense of direction. They get lost easily. They get restless. And they need a lot of water. They need an awful lot of water. Which if you think of what the psalmist says, then it starts to make a lot of sense. They cannot look after themselves. And Philip Keller, who was a pastor as well as a shepherd, an actual shepherd before he became a pastor, says he was surprised when he was learning to be a shepherd and started off shepherding, the amount of care that sheep need. They basically need 24 hours of care. They need an awful lot of looking after. And they are highly social and have a strong instinct to gather together. Or as the English phrase puts it, they like to flock together, which is why we get the word, the flock of God. They like to gather together. So why did Jesus, do you think, compare us to sheep? Because you're probably sitting there going, hang on a minute, what do you mean I'm not intelligent? How many of you, you know the other one word for not intelligent? Yeah, you can say not clever, but there's one word, it starts with S, right? Yeah, thank you. So, you go, hang on a minute, Lord, are you calling me stupid? Are you saying I've got no sense of direction? I put it to you that the behavior of sheep and man is very similar in a lot of ways when you think about it. We are solitary people, but we also have a great tendency to flock together, collectively. Have you ever heard of the phrase, the herd instinct? You know, in Malaysia, we used to have a saying sometimes of amok, where a whole bunch of people go mad suddenly. Hysteria takes over. One person, now there may be many reasons, but one person starts off and then a whole group starts. We have a collective instinct. We are fearful people. We can be timid sometimes. We can be extremely stubborn. I know a lot of us will not admit to that. We can be stupid. We make mistakes. Human beings never learn. History is full of that. We keep making the same mistakes as people before us. We have what is called perverse habits. In other words, our habits are strange and a bit silly. Pastor Ken, bless him, sent me a video, which I wanted to show, but I thought I better not. It's about a behavior of this sheep. You know, the shepherd, the sheep is stuck in a ditch. Poor shepherd struggling to get the sheep out of the ditch, finally gets it out, places it on solid ground, and the sheep goes, runs off, and then jauntily, promptly jumps back into the ditch, and gets stuck all over again. And the shepherd looks in the video at the sheep, shrugs his shoulders, and walks away. That's an example of a bad shepherd, all right? So please don't do that. Please don't do that. And like it or not, some of us have an inability to care for ourselves. But let's look at what Scripture says. And the flock of God is mentioned an awful lot too in the Old Testament. So very briefly, I want to go through some of this, because it will give you an idea, hopefully, of where the Lord's coming on this one. We are told that the flock of God, which is compared to Israel, is under the care and protection of the Good Shepherd. And there may be times when the flock of God is scattered in judgment, mainly because the flock has disobeyed. But tied in with judgment in the Scripture comes the hope of restoration and the regathering, the bringing back together of the flock. That's Jeremiah 23 as an example. And we are told that as the flock of God, we are objects of His saving grace and heirs of the covenant promises of God in Micah. So, in other words, the description that God uses for us, His people, as sheep, as a collective flock, there is both grace and judgment, and there is hope. And it's a picture of a good shepherd that comes out. And it communicates that the people basically are helpless. They need to depend upon God. They need to depend upon God. So what then does the New Testament say about the flock of God? And we're going to look today mainly, basically, from John chapter 10. All right, John chapter 10. And if you've got your Bibles, you can follow along. The first couple of sections are verses 1 to 6. And in that, we're going to look at the relationship of the sheep, of the flock, to the shepherd. 1-3. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, I don't know if you ever realized this or asked the question, but what it mentions here about entering through a door, and it mentions about a doorkeeper. Jesus mentions a doorkeeper. There are two kinds of sheepfolds, in other words, protection areas for sheep. The kind that Jesus is referring to here, and it is important to remember that the Israelites and the Jews knew they were an agricultural country, they were a farming place, so they understood this. One kind of a sheepfold was the one that's often used in villages or towns, and it was a communal sheepfold. In other words, there was more than one flock of sheep in there. And that was operated by a doorkeeper. So in other words, he guarded the door and the gateway to that sheepfold. And so when the shepherd arrived, the doorkeeper would recognize him. And then he would let him in. That's why Jesus is talking about the people who come over the walls, comes in some other way. They are not shepherds. They are thieves and robbers. And then we are told the doorkeeper opens, the shepherd comes in, and he's looking at all these sheep. And then the sheep look at him. And how does he identify his sheep? Jesus says, he calls them by name. Jesus knows you, each one of you, by name. He calls you by your name. Yongwei, Andrew, Raj, Karen, Delvin. He calls you all by your name. He knows your name. And you know his voice. The other thing is, Jesus says the sheep hear his voice. Hear his voice. And what I never realized for a long time was this, that in those days, and to a certain extent in Israel and in Palestine nowadays, those shepherds, they sing to their sheep. They sing. They have a unique way of singing, and they sing to their sheep. You know, one thing, well, you all know that I'm a grandfather nowadays. And one thing I've discovered for my four-month-old granddaughter, she looks at me and she frowns. I don't know why. She looks at Carol and she smiles and laughs and starts to coo. I got a problem, yes. But one thing that I've discovered that my Rebecca knows and seems to like is when I sing to her. I don't think I've got a great voice, and I've been learning nursery rhymes all over again because I can't remember them. But it's remarkable how some of these nursery rhymes come back to you in your head. But the shepherd sings to his sheep, and the sheep hear, and the sheep recognize. All right. And by the way, if you're ever thinking, what does the shepherd call his sheep? I don't know. Big ears, black nose. I don't know what he calls them. You know what he calls them? I don't know. Woolly. So in other words, what are we learning from here? What does God want to teach us? What is Jesus trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us about familiarity. The shepherd is familiar with his sheep. The good shepherd knows his sheep. And the sheep are familiar with him. Do we know our Lord Jesus? He calls them by name, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls them by name, and they hear his voice, and they follow him. They follow him. Jesus said, I know my own, and my own know me. Verses 14 to 15. I know, and my own know me. I've said this before. Knowing in the Old Testament and in the English in the olden days implies really knowing. It's not surface knowing. It's not veneer knowing. It's deep down knowing. In other words, lesson two that Jesus is teaching us is intimacy. Intimacy. The sheep know their shepherd. And he knows them. And when he calls them, I couldn't find one with the shepherd actually in front, going back out to the sheepfold. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him. There is a story that's been told when this particular person was on a tour of Israel, and he looked out of the bus as they were going along, and there was this flock of sheep, and there was this person behind with a dog, and he had a big stick. And so the person said to the guide, that's an example, right, of a shepherd. And the person said, no, that's not a shepherd. That's not a shepherd. So this tourist, this man, was a bit confused. He said, hang on a minute, sheep, person, shepherd. Surely, no. He said, the difference is that man was driving the sheep from the back. He's a butcher. He's taking the sheep to slaughter. In the Middle East, the sheep follow the shepherd. In that time, that was the model. We have it differently here in Australia nowadays with our cattle rangers and our things. We drive. Those of you who like to watch Buster Dogs will know the dogs drive, the dogs herd. But in the Middle Eastern times, in Jesus' times, the sheep would follow their shepherd. Familiar. So, what is the relationship for the shepherd and his sheep? How does he provide for them? John 10, 7 to 10, verses 7 to 10. Now you may read this and you go, hang on a minute, what's this got to do with provision? It has everything to do with provision. Without reading all of it, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus says it twice. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I have come that ye may have life and life abundantly. Again, a pause. What do you hold that thought? I said there were two types of sheepfold. What is different about these pictures here? What do you notice about these pictures? Sorry? The shape is one thing, yes. What's the other thing? It's very obvious. what is obvious about these two sheepfolds? One circle, one's rectangular. What is obvious about them? One's got grass, weeds. Okay, there is no gate. There is no gate. This is the other type of sheepfold that is mentioned by Jesus, and he refers to this. All right, so let us go back to this one. I am the door. The first example that Jesus talks about, he talks of a doorkeeper. Now he switches it and he says, I am the door. I am the door. All right, I am the door of the sheep. Because in this picture, in this type of sheepfold, when the sheep are gathered in to the pen at night, guess who is the door? The shepherd. The shepherd lies across that gap. For the sheep to get out, they have to go through the shepherd. For any wild animals or anybody else, they have to get past the shepherd. So Jesus said, I am the door. That's how he provides for us as sheep. That's how he guides us and looks for us. Jesus is the door. He is protector as well as provider. Our good shepherd is protector as well as provider. And that's something that we need to remember. We are not just saved, but we are also safe. Not just saved, but also safe. Christ said, if you come through me, you get abundant life. What is abundant life? What is abundant life? Abundant life, I put it to you, is not just an abundance of things. It's not an overflowing of wealth and liquid assets, although it can be a blessing. In one of our devotions this past week, as we went through going through the Gospel of Luke, it actually said, woe are you if you have too much. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It is not a lifestyle that can be purchased or earned. Abundant life is not that. I put it to you that an abundant life is being satisfied by the life that the Lord has provided for you. Your lot in life. Are you satisfied with what the Lord has provided for you? That is challenging. For a sheep who is dependent upon its shepherd to feed and to keep, the shepherd, if he's a good shepherd or she's a good shepherd, will provide abundantly for that sheep. We are told in Psalm 23 that the good shepherd does the following things. He leads his sheep to green pastures. He makes sure they are constantly fed. He looks out for the stray. Those who wander. He keeps his sheep away from dangerous things like poisonous plants. He doesn't lead them to a whole bunch of poisonous things and say, go eat, man. Not unless he wants to kill them. He takes his sheep to good water. He provides everything necessary for the health of the sheep. And one other thing is this. Have you ever, those of you who have been to New Zealand, there's a famous sheep, and I can't remember her name at the moment, But she got lost, and when they found her, her wool had, you know, if you imagine me and think I've expanded about five times as big, four times as big, you know, like my hair has grown out, and that sheep was barely able to survive, but it managed to survive. Dolly, thank you. Thank you. And they had to shear that sheep. That's why sheep have to be sheared all the time. They don't shed their skin, their wool naturally. You have to go there and shear them. So a good shepherd actually is actually a good hairdresser when you think about it, because he knows how to shear and look after his sheep. Now, we looked at the sheep and the good shepherd a bit. What is the qualification to be a sheep, you may say? Do you want to be a sheep? When you consider what a good shepherd does, do you want to be a sheep? Nobody's answering me on this one. I put it to you that the qualification to be a sheep is very simple. The sheep be a sheep that has learned to recognize the voice of his shepherd and to follow that shepherd wherever he may lead you, to trust and to know that the shepherd knows best for you. Now you may say that's blind faith. It is not. You have to trust. This morning in our devotion from Luke 7, one of the things that I was reminded about, it was about the story of the centurion. He had a servant that was a favorite servant of his, and his servant needed to be, was very sick, to the point of death. Now this man was not a Jew, he was a Roman, so therefore he was a Gentile. But he had provided for the Jews. He had built a synagogue for them, he had provided for them, he had a good relationship with the Jews. And his servant was sick, and he had heard about Jesus. And so he says words along the line of, Lord, I do not presume to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Say the word. When Jesus speaks, when our good shepherd speaks, there is power in what he says. We don't presume to come into the presence of the Lord, but we can say, Lord, speak the word. And I really think and believe that we really need to practice this more. We need to let Father speak his word to us, to come. But the lesson for me that this morning was this. What was it that the centurion demonstrated? He demonstrated faith. He demonstrated faith. What is faith? Faith is having confidence in our Almighty God. Faith is having confidence in our Almighty God, trusting Him. You want to be a sheep? Learn to trust. Learn to trust and place your confidence in the Lord. And maybe say, Bah. Say the word, Lord. ourselves when we were in the UK as students, you know, what's the difference between a sheep and a goat? All right. Don't let your minds go too far on this one, all right? It's very simple. The sheep go baa. What do the goats do? Bad, okay. You know. I said do, I didn't say what they say. Sheep baa, goats butt. Think about it. Somebody's got it, Nikki's got it, I think. Goats butt. They butt heads a lot. In other words, butt. Goats like to say butt, butt, butt. Trust, not but. Alright? Trust, not but. God's heart for the sheep is simple. He lays down his heart, his life for the sheep. I'm not thinking and concentrating about the actual shepherds that are called today. We can discuss that in our small groups. I lay down my life. He says this an awful lot of time, which is part of the fourth lesson, compassion. Compassion. What is compassion? We are told in Matthew 9 that Jesus felt compassion for his sheep deep down inside him. The meaning of that phrase, of that verse, is his stomach turned within him when he looked at his people. He churned with emotion. It was deep and heartfelt. Jesus' heart was full of sacrificial love for all of us. He was ultimately willing to pay the supreme sacrifice, the cross. The heart of our shepherd, the good shepherd, he was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. My prayer, our prayer should be, Lord, grant us shepherds that will willingly lay down their lives for us. Lesson 5, and I won't dwell on this one, is this: one flock, one shepherd. That's in verse 16. One flock, one shepherd. Jesus says, there's this line verse there, there are sheep not of this fold that he needs to go to, and then they will respond to him. That, my friends, is the verse that applies to all of us, because the initial verses, in its actual sense, were only to the Jews, but this is for all of us, Gentiles. We were the flock that were outside, and Jesus came for us too. That is the hope. That is the magnificence of our wonderful thing, Lord. And finally, I just want to end on a difficult note. And this is not something that we hear about very often, but I want to briefly, in ending, just mention the mark of the shepherd on his sheep. These verses come from Exodus 21 and Deuteronomy 15. And there's one reference in Galatians 6, verse 17. Philip Keller again said this: when he bought his first few sheep and he looked at them, he said, I had paid a price. They were precious to me, and to him at that time, they were beautiful sheep, the ewes that he had bought, the lambs that he had bought. And then this older, wiser shepherd who was helping him at that time looked at him, handed him a scissors, a clipper, and said, "Now, you know what to do next." And Philip said, "I knew deep down in me what that would mean. It would mean pain for the sheep, and it would mean pain for me, because this sheep were precious to me. They were my flock." What Paul says in Galatians 6 verse 17 is, "I bear on my body the mark of Jesus." Some verses put it, the brand marks of Jesus. Every shepherd has to mark his sheep. There is pain for both sheep and shepherd. But it is a mark of ownership that can never be erased. Because then when you look out over the fields, and if there is a mixture, that's the other way of identifying, you know that that group of sheep belong to somebody, a mark. What is the mark of the shepherd, of the good shepherd? It is the cross that identifies us with him for all time. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26, "If any man wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Not the cross of Jesus. You cannot take up the cross of Jesus. That's his burden. He bore it once and for all for all of us. But for each one of us in our walk, there is a cross that we must take up willingly. If we wish to go after him, to follow him, we must be willing to take up that cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. Jesus warns us. Well, the question is this. It's just like a sheep, all right? Whether you like it or not, are we willing to come under the Lord's direction and management? Are we willing to call him Lord? We cannot have it both ways. We either belong or we don't. Either we belong or we don't. Oh, sorry. Matthew 7. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." There will be a day, Jesus Christ warns us as the church, as his flock, when we will say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do many things in your name? Lord, I did all these things. I cast out demons. I performed many miracles. I prophesied in your name. I healed." And Jesus will say, "Depart from me," because he never knew us as we were, as his own. Beloved, this is scary. It is serious, and we ignore this at our peril. He will call us sons of lawlessness. And what is a lawless person? A lawless person is the one who has chosen to do his own will, not the will of our Father in heaven. So that's the warning, my friends. So the question that we ask, for us today as we bring this to an end is this. Do we bear the mark of Jesus? If we say we are the flock of God, we are sheep under Him, do we bear His mark? Do I recognize His right to me, His ownership of me? Do I respond to our Good Shepherd's authority and acknowledge His ownership? Am I able to find freedom and fulfillment with Him as my shepherd? Do I have a sense of a purpose and a deep contentment because I am under His direction? Do I belong? Do I belong? Can I say, in all honesty, the Lord is my shepherd and I am part of His flock? Can I say that? That is the question before Christians in the end. You know, even I struggle to put this message together, and in all that was going on, and what then struck me was this: Christ is the creator of all things. In fact, you look at things, you look at the earth, you pick up, you dig up, and you hold up some soil, and you look at the grass, and you look at the roots, and you look at, well, you can't see the microbes, but you look at the complexity of things. He's the creator of all things, and He calls Himself my shepherd. He addresses Himself to you and to me. I am your shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And He invites me as His sheep to come. He invites me to consider myself as His sheep, His special object of affection and attention. Do you know that? That you are His special object of affection and attention. He loves you. He died for you. And as the good shepherd, He wants to care for you and protect you and keep you safe. Will you look to Him, Christine? Let us pray.